In Acts chapter 19, beginning at verse 1, I'll read for you. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, Have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, Unto what then were you baptized? And they said, Unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. For a subject this morning, we're simply going to use the Holy Ghost. You may be seated. The Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost. I told you to pay close attention before. If you were listening, Deacon Thomas and several of the others, that was the Holy Ghost. Because it has a sound. It speaks. The Holy Ghost. And as some had mentioned, Minister Marcus had said, we were at the council on this week, and I praise the Lord for those that were able to attend the council session this past week. There was quite a bit of real-world information that was shared. We had on, I believe it was Friday, Dr. Rayvon Key, a psychologist, was there to discuss suicide and mental health in the church. He discussed the signs of suicide, developing partnerships with outside agencies, being able to point people to the right resources. During the panel discussion, where I served as the moderator on Friday, Suffragan Bishop James Moore discussed information without application, where he brought out that since COVID, people are not coming back to church. Some are still afraid. Some are discouraged. Some feel useless. And then there's social media that occupies the time of others. And on yesterday, I noticed in the program, I had to be at work on yesterday, but I noticed that the young people's session, it was also a seminar topic on the program for mental health and depression. As I begin to ponder what is happening all around us concerning these things, seeking the Lord, depression, mental health, suicide, I consider the word of the Lord. And in John 14, Jesus tells his disciples, Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in me, believe in God, believe also in me. Jesus here would continue and tell them that he was going to prepare a place for them. He was trying to settle them because he knew he was about to leave, to go to be sacrificed for our sins. And so he's trying to settle them. As he continued to tell them that he was preparing a place for them, the disciples were concerned. Thomas would reply, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus responded to Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Most of the disciples are still confused and afraid. Paraphrasing Philip's request, Lord, just show us the Father, and that will suffice. In other words, that's going to calm my fears. Jesus would respond to him, He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. Jesus knows their fears and concerns continues, so he tells them, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. He says, in other words, I'm going away, but I'm going to send you a comforter. Jesus would confirm them and tell them that this comforter was in fact the Spirit of truth and would be called the Holy Ghost, which would teach them bring all things to their remembrance and provide peace. He says, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Here in the word, Jesus is about to leave his disciples to sacrifice himself, as I said, for our sins. His disciples are in a state of depression. Mental health issues are beginning to rise. And in fact, one, Judas Iscariot, would end up committing suicide. So he has attempted to provide them with hope that there would be a comforter, the Holy Ghost. After Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, he reminds his remaining disciples in Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, but wait for the promise. Ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. In the 8th verse, Jesus tells them, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. This power is important because it is the power to keep you so that you don't go and fall apart at wit's end. This power is important because, as it says, it is a comforter. It's going to keep you when the enemy gets on your track and when you begin to get confused and bewildered. This Holy Ghost is important. This power is important because it is the only thing that keeps you from taking a whole bottle of pills. It's something that's going to keep you from jumping off a bridge. It is something that is going to keep you intact. From the book of Acts of the Apostles, we witness the actions of the Holy Ghost working in the apostles. Peter, who had earlier denied Jesus, now that he has the Holy Ghost, he is not afraid to stand in front of a crowd of thousands of people and preach Jesus. Peter and John, while on their way to the temple for prayer, are not ashamed to share the power of healing through the Holy Ghost with a lame man by calling the name of Jesus Christ. The man now walking and leaping and giving God the praise. In Acts chapter 8, when the church in Jerusalem is being persecuted, Philip the evangelist goes to Samaria and preaches Jesus. The people gave heed to the gospel, hearing and seeing the miracles through the Holy Ghost. Philip baptized many, both men and women. However, none had received the Holy Ghost. The information had gotten back to Jerusalem, and the apostles at Jerusalem were so concerned that none had received the Holy Ghost that Acts the 8th chapter and the 15th verse tells us that when they hear this, it said, they sent Peter and John. It said, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. Here the apostles realize that it is needful. It is something that is essential to keeping you. And so they were concerned that these had not received it, so they sent out and dispatched some of their best. They sent Peter and John. It said, and when the apostles laid hands on them, the people received the Holy Ghost. And now they had power. Simon the sorcerer seized this power, and he even wanted to buy it. But saints, the Holy Ghost is not for sale. It's free. It don't take money to get the Holy Ghost. But it takes a mind that believes in God and an open heart, a soul that's willing to praise and magnify him. When you begin to praise and magnify him, when you really believe in him and are sold out to him, then he will sup with you and you with him, and he will give you the Holy Ghost. Now in our text, we find the apostle Paul coming to Ephesus, where he encounters, the scripture says, certain disciples. Luke the writer uses the word disciples to inform us that these men had some knowledge to be students of Christ. However, the apostle Paul saw some indication, or by the presence of the Holy Ghost within himself, was prompted to do something that was out of character. That was not his customary way of dealing with people. He straight up asked these men, have you received the Holy Ghost? It was not Paul's usual way to go and into a place and ask, do you have the Holy Ghost? You got the Holy Ghost? No. But while he met with these, there was something about them. Whether it was their conversation, it was something about them, whether they cared themselves. It was something about them, whether they were depressed. It was something about them, whether they were down and out. Something about them, whether they were confused. Something about them, whether they were hurting and didn't have any way of help. But he says, have you got the Holy Ghost? Since apparently, he says, you believe something about Jesus, but have you had the Holy Ghost? By their reply, Paul finds out, I know why the Holy Ghost prompted me to ask you. They responded and said, we have not so much as heard, well, there be any Holy Ghost. What is it? Paul now then realizes that he needs to get some more information. He says, well, if you don't know about the Holy Ghost, unto who, what then were ye baptized? They responded unto John's baptism. Paul now understood. They didn't have the full knowledge of Jesus. These men were in the same condition as Apollos was in the 18th chapter when Aquila and Priscilla had to take him to themselves and explain it in a more excellent way. And so now it's Paul that has to point out to these men, John baptized with repentance, that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. As he begins to expound the word and to explain it to them, the scripture said they, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord. They said, we want it. After he began to explain it, they wanted it. You had to understand when John was baptizing and had his ministry going, he pointed those that were there to Jesus. Behold the Lamb of God. We just sung it. Behold the Lamb of God. Out of those on that particular time, we begin to see Andrew and another of his disciples follow Jesus. They introduced others to Jesus, but there were some that did not get this message that were followers of John. Now, here, these young men, these 12 that here Paul meets at the coast of Ephesus. And as he begins to explain, they willingly are ready to receive it. As they receive it and were baptized, Paul lays his hands upon them. And the Holy Ghost came on them, and the scripture said they began to speak with tongues and prophesy. The Holy Ghost has a sound. The Holy Ghost speaks. It has a tongue. It's not one that you can get the software Babel and it teaches you. And it's not what so many of us think of as the Holy Ghost. When I was a young young boy, years ago in the other churches, they said nothing about the Holy Ghost. They wouldn't even accept the Holy Ghost, even though it was printed in the Word of God. As Pastor Couch used to say, the said churches would say, oh, there ain't no Holy Ghost. Oh, they ain't got nothing. Now, you go to different churches, everybody got the Holy Ghost. Everybody's talking about the Holy Ghost. And I said, well, do you speak? No, I don't do that, but I got the Holy Ghost. They have been under a confusement about the Holy Ghost. No doubt they heard the song, and it told them they had the Holy Ghost. You know that song that says, early one morning, just about the break of day, Jesus touched me and all my sins away. I started running. I started shouting. There was no doubt about it. I had nothing but the Holy Ghost. That's not the Holy Ghost. Running, shouting, crying is not the Holy Ghost. That is rejoicing, the joy of the Lord. And if it's not under the anointing of the Lord, then you must be schizophrenic. You trip it out. That's what running and jumping and when you ain't got the spirit. But normally when you are crying and you praise it and you magnify him, that is a sign of joy, rejoicing, praise. But the Holy Ghost When it's confirmed in you, speaks. And so here, we begin to find out that so many, I wondered why the church is under attack and why so many things are happening in Jude. You read the scripture in Jude. But the fourth verse of Jude begins to let you know that there were men, certain, crept in unawares. There's some stuff that has crept into the church of the living God, unaware. The things that have crept in, this depression, these issues, these mental problems, are because the people don't have the genuine Holy Ghost. The genuine Holy Ghost, you know the real thing from an imposter. But so many people don't. They thought they've had what it took, but they don't have it all. You know how medications are. You can get the true medicine, or they, what do they tell you, that you get cheaper? You can get a what? A generic. So many people have gotten generic Holy Ghost. Somebody told them, say this, say that. Oh, that's it, you got it. That's not it. When you got the Holy Ghost, you know it. When you got the Holy Ghost, you have power. When you have the Holy Ghost, you know something happened to you that you could not explain what happened to you. But it spoke through you. And you know that power that came. It was an experience that it was better felt than told. It was an experience that gave you confidence that God had wrought something in you that you couldn't do yourself. This is the comforter that the Lord was telling his disciples, the apostles, about, that was going to overcome them, that they would have power to be comforted when the devil gets on your back, that they would have power and they would have peace when the issues of this life would come or go. You begin to see that after the Holy Ghost had really come upon them, no longer were they confused or bewildered. No longer were they denying the Lord. But the Holy Ghost came in them and gave them a boldness and a power. And that boldness and a power allowed them to stand firm. That Holy Ghost allowed Peter, that while he was awaiting to be executed, sitting in prison, strapped to soldiers, Peter was sitting there asleep, comforted in the Lord that no matter what comes or go, I know that the Spirit of God is with me. And whatever happens to me, that I'm going to be all right, whether absent from this body or present, I'm going to be all right. But the Bible says that it wasn't time for Peter. Hallelujah. And the Lord allowed him to come out of that cell. Hallelujah. Because of the power of the Holy Ghost and the saints that were praying. Right now, we've got the opportunity to get the real thing. I'm not going to after no generic. I want it like the Bible says. I want it like the Lord intended to me to have it, so that I can have power. We're living beneath our privilege. We're worried. We're upset because you don't have it like the Bible said. But the saints used to say, I've got it. I've got it. I've got it. You know I've got it. Sister Bonner loved that song. Something about the Holy Ghost I cannot explain, but I've got it. And you can have it too. Those of us that have it know what it's about. We know the power of it. We know that we can just call on the name of the Lord, and he is a very present help in time of trouble. Those of you that pull your hair out at wit's end, you need to stir up the gift. If you got it, stir it up. Let the Holy Ghost work on your behalf. Been praying for various ones. Those of you that are going through, the enemy is trying to put doubt in your mind. Don't doubt. Because if you got the Holy Ghost, you know, I know the enemy has fought my cousin, Delonda, with the passing of her father many times. But I was confident and assured that God was going to bring out why she's got the Holy Ghost. She knew she had the Holy Ghost. We were there when she received the Holy Ghost. I saw in her she had the Holy Ghost. So I saw, I know it's in you. And all I tell the Lord is, Lord, the same thing that Paul told Timothy. I know what's in you, Delonda. Stir up the gifts in there. I know you got the Holy Ghost. You got the power. So you don't fret. God's going to give you confidence. Many of you in here that got the Holy Ghost, like the Bible said, whether you're going through or not, many are the afflictions of the righteous. Many are the afflictions. There are things that are going to come against you. But hallelujah, you're going to be able to stand because you got the what? Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is a keeper. The Holy Ghost is a comforter. The Holy Ghost is a help. It's the Spirit of truth. It lies within you. And you got to be able to stand firm on the Holy Ghost. Stand firm on the power that lies within you. Be confident of this thing. He that begun a good work in you will perform it to the day of Jesus Christ. You're not going to fall apart like other folks fall apart. You're not going to end up in institutions like other folk end up in institutions because you got the Lord on your side. Hallelujah. They used to say, if the Lord was on my side, where would I be? If he wasn't on your side, where would we be? Some of us would be locked up. Some of us would be in institutions. Some of us would be in a rubber room. But I'm so glad that he's on our side. There are things that the enemy wanted to do. His job is to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to confuse so many. He wants to hurt so many. But hallelujah, you got the Holy Ghost. The Lord saved me. Why should I be bound? He's got some people wrapped up and tied up in the things that they don't know how they're going to get out of. But God has got you filled with his Spirit, filled with his power, that no matter what the enemy tries to put on you, you're going to come out with your hands up. Hallelujah. That's what the power of the Holy Ghost is. We got to be confident in that power today. You got to be confident in that power today. And if you don't have it, it's promised to you. Acts says it's for you, your children. Children of them that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. It's a gift that's promised to you. It said, if you repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, ye shall receive. That's a promise. Ye shall receive. Is that not a promise? The gift of the Holy Ghost. It's promised. If you haven't gotten it yet, get it. Make it your mindset. The Lord, I want what you got in store for me. Today, I wanted this message, hopefully, as I received it, to stir something in you that if you haven't gotten it, that you be about getting it. That you contact me, Minister McKissick, Sister Harrison, Minister God, any of the saints. We'll come and tarry with you because it's tarrying time. That you get it. I'm fasting during this time frame of consecration so that the people receive the Holy Ghost. Because you're living beneath your privilege. You're living beneath the power. Because I don't want to just be a few of us that's got it. I want us all to have it. Because if we all have it and we can all pray together. Hallelujah. There are some things that the power of the Holy Ghost wants to do. You begin to see in Acts chapter 2 on, after they received the Holy Ghost, how the Holy Ghost began to work with signs and wonders, how the Holy Ghost began to say, bring about salvation, how the Holy Ghost began to respond to the needs of people. We got a world out here that's dying. We got a world that's confused and bewildered because they don't know any better. The enemy is on their track, and they're there as prey, easy prey for the adversary. And the only thing that's separating them from a death and a devil is hell is us to begin to witness, to pray, and to intercede for our fellow man. Hallelujah. It's about time that we about, as Brother Miguel said, our Father's business. It's time for us to be serious and busy about this thing. We got to reach the people. We got to pray without ceasing. We got to fast. And we got to pray that the people receive the Holy Ghost. Power. It's power. It's a comfort. That's why you don't kill yourself. You got the Holy Ghost. Now, if you ain't got the Holy Ghost and you got Casper, the friendly ghost, you might do anything. But the Holy Ghost is real. It's not generic. It's real. How do I know it's real? Because it's real in me. I spoke. And I know. Wasn't nothing I taught myself. It wasn't a foreign language. I didn't take French, and now I can speak in French, and that's the whole. No, that's not it. It will speak through you. It will speak through you. No matter how old or how young. But the power is there. It's able to touch each and every one. And that power is needful, especially in the times that we live in. The times we live in, if it wasn't the Holy Ghost, where would we be? If we didn't have the ability to reach the Lord in our prayer and our praise, and He in turn calms us and settles us through the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. Stand to your feet. Jesus breathed on them and told them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. I'm breathing today. Lord, breathe on them. Let them receive the Holy Ghost. Let your people, those that haven't received it, receive the Holy Ghost. It's needful. We got to have it. We got to have the power so that the saints don't fall apart. So the saints are able to hold on. We need the Holy Ghost. Lord Jesus, as we come right now, we thank you for your word. The Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost. Your power. Sent in your name. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, to comfort, to strengthen, to keep. Spirit of truth. Bless right now, oh God, that your people receive the Holy Ghost. Lord, let your people receive your Holy Ghost. Let your people receive your Holy Ghost. They need the Holy Ghost, Lord. Let your people receive the Holy Ghost, the real thing. Hallelujah. Not somebody just teaching them some words. Lord, it's you speaking through them. Then they know, Lord, whatever that power was. Hallelujah. They can do even more. Hallelujah. I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. Strengthen your people, Lord. Hallelujah. So that they know that they can make it. So they don't give up. So they're not depressed. So they're not confused. So they're not suicidal. Hallelujah. Strengthen them. Let this mind be in them that was also in Christ Jesus. So they won't have mental issues, Lord. They would be at peace. Peace. Hallelujah. Holy Ghost, Lord. We need the Holy Ghost. We need the Holy Ghost. Bless right now, God. Something we used to do occasionally, Pastor Cows would give us about 2 minutes. And just let everybody praise the Lord. You got to think of His goodness and His mercy when you receive the Holy Ghost. We're going to do 2 minutes. We're going to tarry 2 minutes to get you in the mode. Because, see, you got to get in the mode of praise Him. You got to think of what He has done. And somebody can get the Holy Ghost right now that don't have it. Somebody can get the Holy Ghost right now that don't have it. But all you got to do is think of what God has done for you, all of His benefits, how He's delivered you from this or that, how He's helped you to do this or that. When you think about it, then you can praise Him. Do you have that gratitude? And you can just begin to exalt Him at your seats. just begin to say, after you think about it, then it's going to make you what? Praise Him. You'll think, Lord, I thank you. Lord, hey. Glory. Oh, glory. Hey, glory. Woo. Hallelujah. Woo. Think of His goodness. Oh, and a praise ought to just come out of you when you appreciate what He's done. Might have delivered your daughter off of drugs, or your son out of this and that and other. Whatever it was, you ought to be appreciative to just thank Him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Just thank you, Jesus. Ooh, hallelujah. And hallelujah is the highest praise, if you know. Just hallelujah. Glory. Oh, just begin to praise Him for what He has done. Praise Him for what He has done. Oh, that's what David said. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt His name together. Thank you. Thank you. He dwells in the midst of praise, y'all. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's in the house. He's in the house. He's in His temple. Hallelujah. Grab it. Hallelujah. Grab it. Hey, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Woo. Glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Everybody with us together. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Now, hallelujah. 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 Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hey, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. God wants us to be the best that we can be. He hadn't given us the spirit of fear, the spirit of depression, the spirit of suicide. The words say He's given us the spirit of fear, but love, a sound mind, power. You got to understand what you got and what you got the capability of getting. It's serious about the Holy Ghost. It's a serious thing. That's why the Lord had put it on my heart today. It's serious because there's so much going on. So much going on. So much going on. But the Holy Ghost is here to help. The Holy Ghost is here to help. And we need tarrying services. You want it? You got to want it. That He'll give it to you. I'm hoping that all receive the Holy Ghost in these next few months. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what's going on in the world. But you're going to need it. You're going to need the Holy Ghost. I don't know if we're going to be in war or what. But you're going to need the Holy Ghost. I don't know if the enemy's going to fight in your home or what. But you're going to need the Holy Ghost. And we want it. Just like the Bible said. What I say unto one, I say unto all, watch. God bless you. God keep you. And seek the Holy Ghost.